History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show. Good evening, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside and Marco Belletti on the updates. And he will be proud to lead off every update. The Knicks fan that we have in-house, as the New York Knicks have won Game 6. There will be no Game 7. There will be a Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and it will be against the Indiana Pacers. We saw these teams meet up last year. That went 7. Pacers won in a series where slowly but surely many members of the Knicks team started getting injured. And that's how the Pacers beat teams. Last year, they beat the Bucks. They had injuries. And the Knicks, they had injuries. And the Celtics didn't, and they swept them. This year, they beat the Bucks, who had injuries. And the Cavs. That one's a little more gray area because they were without Darius Garland a couple of games. In Game 2, they were without 3 guys. But they did. I mean, the hater that I am of the Indiana Pacers. And I am an absolute legendary hater of the Indiana Pacers. They may be the team that I hate the most. Yeah, they may be the team I hate the most. And that hasn't always been that way. I really don't think about them at all. But now I can't get them out of my head. Kylie Minogue drink. The New York Knicks advance to the Eastern Conference Finals thanks to a resounding victory as they win 119-81. P.J. Tucker, Cameron Payne, Landry Shamet, Tyler Kolek among the names on the court when the final call was made. On the Knicks radio network.
Now Davidson ahead, hesitates on the left side of the paint and couldn't bank on the lefty layup. Tillman's follow missed, and Payne gets the rebound with the shot clock turned off. Oh, and Jalen Brunson was waving to the crowd in Boston. I guess he was waving goodbye. If you want to knock off the champions, you have to play like champions. And the Knicks did that tonight. A 119-81 win, and the outcome that no one in the NBA saw coming, aside from the New York Knicks themselves. Knicks in 6, and they're on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years.
Knicks Radio Network, I got to find the stat, but I think we're up to 5 or 6 straight years where the team that wins, the next year they don't get past the second round. So it's tough to repeat in this league. It's tough to even come back and make another deep run in this league. Celtics were able to win the championship. You actually heard the final call of that in our bulletin blitz. Well, here's the final call of the Celtics 2024-25 season on the Celtics radio network.
Tillman can't get the offensive rebound to go. Payne will get across half court. For the Boston Celtics, a brilliant title defense season. But in the conference semifinals, bad illness, bad health, bad karma, bad decisions, bad shooting, and bad injury luck. And they ran into the wrong team at the wrong time because the New York Knickerbockers are beginning to look like a team of destiny. And 25 years after their last appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals, the New York Knicks are back, and Madison Square Garden is back in the NBA's Final Four. The final score in Game 6, New York 119, Boston 81.
Are they still officially the Knickerbockers?
Yes.
Are they still that? they're just not the Knicks? That's weird. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're not like, why in the standings it should say their full name.
I never thought about it.
I'm just going to call them the Knicks. I don't like saying the full name.
I don't either for non-obvious reasons.
I mean, I said the full name. But even I was like, what? The Knicks. I understand why they're called the Knicks.
Me too. I said it, the full name on the New York side when I was doing an update a couple months ago, and I'm like, this doesn't feel right.
No, they won. The Knicks won. New York.
Nye.
Yeah, the Nye, New York. New York won the game. And they won it, again, resoundingly. It's not like they pulled away late. They had a huge second quarter, outscoring the Celtics 38-17. Jalen Brunson kind of got off to a slow start. He only had 4 points, I think, when they had 40. But he finished tied for the lead in scoring for the Knicks, 23 points, along with OG Anunoby with 23. And Cat had 21, and Bridges had 22. So that's about as – that's like what you want. That's like a dream. If you can have equal scoring, equal output, everybody chipping in some way. Josh Hart had a triple-double, 10 points, 11 boards, 11 assists. McBride off the bench hit a couple of threes. He had 10. Mitchell Robinson, 14 minutes. Precious in there for a little bit of a run. And then they emptied the bench, got some P.J. Tucker time. You love to see it. So the Knicks, huge win. And this was most likely how this game was going to go. The Knicks were going to win this game. I didn't see him winning by 38 points, but maybe we should have also seen that coming. I think what happened in game five, I think we should have saw coming too. A celebration in Madison Square Garden to go up 3-1, Boston losing Jason Tatum, and they're going to dig in and give you one effort, and they're at home. And it's just a weird thing in the playoffs. This is why it's so crazy that all these road teams have won the amount that they've won, is that the bench players, the rotation guys, you know, guys like 4 and 5 even in your starting lineup, those guys always do produce a little bit more at home. Derek White is going to give you better performances typically in Boston than he is on the road. Andrew Nembhard for the Pacers is going to give you better performances in Indiana than he is on the road. That's just typically how it goes. You get the better performances from those guys when you're in your building. So a good overall effort from the Knicks. They were the better team in this series. You know, if these two teams were at full strength and you played a best of nine, the Celtics are probably going to come back and win that. If you play a best of 11, and the more you play, the more lopsided it might be. But as Sean Grandy said there, he was right. They ran into the wrong team at the wrong time, because while they, I don't want to say fell apart, but they lost Tatum, and he's out for next year. And then Porzingis, we still don't know what the hell is going on with him. We know has an illness, but we don't know what it is. He did not start tonight. He only played 11 minutes, 4 points. So you lost Tatum, and then you kind of also lost Porzingis. Their leading scorer was Jaylen Brown. He had 20, but he fouled out in the third quarter as they really just kept him out there. He got 32 minutes, and he fouled out in like the middle of the third quarter. So he barely stepped off the court. And then they only had two other guys in double digits. Pritchard had 11 and Al Horford had 10. Jrue Holiday just 4. Derek White, 2 of 8 from 3. They were 12 of 41 tonight. That's been one of the stories is the first two games, they were very bad, 25 for 100 total. And then in games 3, 4, 5 were better, more aligned with what you see from the Celtics. And then tonight, back down to 29% from three. You're not, like, with all due respect to Luke Kornet, if you're starting Luke Kornet on the road, you're not winning a game 6 to go to a game 7. That is not happening. You are not going to do that. So what's next for the Celtics, I think, is an intriguing question. What's next for the Knicks is the Indiana Pacers. This series will start on Wednesday in New York and then Friday. And then they have a Sunday, Tuesday in Indiana, and then a Thursday, a Saturday, and a Monday. So it's just a day on, a day off, a day on, a day off, travel on, the off days. TNT will have the coverage of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then ESPN and ABC will have the coverage of the Western Conference Finals, which will be the Timberwolves against, I think, the Thunder. I think it will be the Thunder. So this Eastern Conference Finals is not what we expected to get here at all. It's the 3 seed and the 4 seed. So one of the things with basketball is typically you can kind of see that the top seeds will get in, or at least the 1 and 2 seeds will get in to that next round. But I guess last year, too, the Mavericks were a 5. And they beat the Thunder. The Timberwolves were a 3 when they beat the Nuggets. The Pacers were a 6 and they beat the Knicks. And then the Celtics were the 1 seed. So last year, there was just one or two seed that got to the conference final weekend. And now this year, it's going to be the same thing unless the Knicks, or the Nuggets rather, if they win... The highest-seeded team, or the lowest-seeded team, I guess, would be the 3-seeded Knicks. And what that means is they get to host this series. The winner of Thunder Nuggets is going to host regardless, as the Timberwolves didn't expect to host a series at all, and they hosted against the 7-seed Warriors, and now you're going to have the Timberwolves on the road. That game is going to be on Tuesday. So that game's going to be on Tuesday. Wednesday we'll have game one of New York and Indiana. So no basketball tomorrow, a game 7, and then no basketball on Monday. Western Conference final starts Tuesday. So the Pacers have had a bunch of rest. The Knicks are going to get a few days. The Timberwolves getting a few days. And then whoever wins this game between Denver and Oklahoma City is going to be a quick turnaround. And so maybe the Timberwolves think they can go in and steal one with that short amount of time in between games. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I don't know who's going to win the finals. And that's good. That's exciting. That's where I think we should be. We all remember when it was 4 years in a row of Cavs and Warriors. And it wasn't like when the Warriors made it a couple of years ago again. It was like, wow, this is kind of surprising. They did it again. We weren't expecting them to do that. It was, you knew, the whole season you knew it was going to be Cleveland and Golden State. And this year, the best two teams were the Thunder and the Cavs. The Thunder need a game 7 in the semifinals just to advance. The Cavs got knocked out in 5 to Indiana. I still feel like the Thunder are going to win Sunday, and I feel like they are going to beat the Timberwolves. But man, that's tough. That's tough. The Timberwolves certainly can do it. Against the Nuggets, I like Minnesota. I think at some point, fatigue is going to fully catch up with Denver. And Denver's tired. They're winding down here in these fourth quarters. They are getting drained in these fourth quarters. It's a difficult time for them. Jamal Murray's not been good in the fourth quarter. The team has not been good. They've been outscored like 62 to 30 something in the fourth quarter of the last two games. So they are outside of game 6. No, that was game 4 and game 5. They won game 6, obviously. But they are, you know, there's fatigue setting in. And then Michael Porter Jr. is playing through an injury. Aaron Gordon now may miss. So if the Timberwolves can get the Nuggets, they're probably rooting for the Nuggets. Nuggets win that game. That's a quick turnaround. I mean, I like Minnesota to steal game one. Otherwise, the Thunder will be reinvigorated. They'll be in a conference final, which they weren't able to get into last year after getting upset. But that's something to watch as we get into next week on Tuesday. With the Pacers and the Knicks, I mean, I think that's going to be about as close to a pick 'em as you can have. And I want to take the Knicks. And I've been hard on the Pacers. And they do celebrate prematurely. And they do take advantage of beat-up teams. But Minnesota got past a Golden State team that didn't have Steph Curry. I don't talk about that. The Thunder are getting past a Nuggets team that is either fatigued or playing through injuries. I don't hold that against them. The Knicks just got past the Celtics without Jason Tatum. This is part of it. So if these two teams can stay healthy, I do like the Knicks to win. But I wonder if there's some bias there. That might be a question. That's why I made a Bartometer. But I did not bring it in tonight. But because I'm at the point. I'm like 52-48, I think, Knicks. Because I'm at the point where I dislike the Pacers so much that even if my brain says, Bart, just take the Pacers, my heart won't allow me to do it. Or that last vocal cord that your brain hits before speech comes out, it won't let me say it. I'll try to say it right now. I think the Pacers are going to win some games next year, but they're not going to win this series. See, I just can't do it. I think the Pacers will win this series is not something I believe. See, whatever, I can't do it. Even when I did it, then other speech came out. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And you know what? We talk about the NBA being predictable. Well, here's a prediction. Who's to say this isn't going to be the Eastern Conference Finals again next year? Yeah. Who's to say it's not going to be Indiana and New York 12 months from now? Big reason for that is the Celtics are in some trouble. Without Jason Tatum, they're going to have to make some changes as well. We'll take a look at what those could be. And just this isn't like, oh, this is a fun thing. Two teams we didn't expect. This may be the future of the East. We may be back in 1999, 2000. This may be the East. New York and Indiana. This is it now, guys. Just like in the West. Thunder and Timberwolves. Who's to say that that's not again? We could be looking at the start of some new dynasties or new perennial conference finals opponents. We'll take a look. 888-710-4476. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
I'd like to acknowledge that my son was very well behaved today. Sometimes I tell stories where, you know, he's a little out of control. Where the gym teacher has to write us an email. This is the Bart Winkler Show, Carlos Ortiz, alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. We'll get back into the Knicks and Celtics. Looking at a potential conversation that maybe we should be having regarding the Boston Celtics. We're having it about some other teams. We're having it about some other star players on some other teams. Should we have it about the Boston Celtics and maybe one of their star players? I will get into that in a minute. We I'm getting a passport photo for my son. Mine's expired. I don't got any plans to go anywhere, but who knows? Just in case. Maybe one of the affiliates in Canada want to fly me in for a day. So I'm getting my passport updated, and I thought, you know what? He needs one. You know, otherwise it's going to be, when we need it, it's going to be a hassle. So we went to go get the picture taken on Sunday, and the guy there was like not into it, didn't know what he was doing. And he took the picture, the kid, he was sitting in a chair, and you can't have that background. So I told my kid tonight, we have to go back to retake your picture. And he's like, oh, that's fine. I just did that. It was an easy process. He's got to be thinking in his head in 5-year-old language. Because it took like 2 minutes and then the guy did it and he was done. Then we go back. I go, hey, I got to retake this because there was a chair. He goes, oh, yeah. Oh, I can't edit that out, but, you know. And he must have taken like 100 pictures of my kid. Trying to get his face just perfect. Trying to like I know that, you know, that they're tight on passports on what you need to be looking forward and face up and not smile. But at some point, man, you're dealing with a 5-year-old kid. Like, he can't just stand there. He did a good job. He did eventually, you know, I think the picture that we ended up using, I think I wiped away the tear that eventually. And he's like, Daddy, why is this taking so long? But it was taking long. So I went from laziest employee in the store to perfectionist in the way that it's psychotic. So shout out to Nameless Place that took my picture today.
Yeah, today. There's no middle ground? Like, we can't no find ground. Some happy medium?
I was in the store for an hour. Do you know what it's like to be in a convenience store for an hour with a 5-year-old?
Sounds like hell.
Well, the last 15 minutes we rode out because he likes to, I've told you this, he likes to look at my phone and he likes to look at the ESPN app and look at the scores. You know, I don't know that any of these other score apps have beat ESPN. Like, it's just an easy app to use. But one of the things that he did was he found the section where you can favorite teams. Because when I open my app, you know, my favorite team scores come up right up on top, just like most people. But he ended up favoriting every team, and so I was getting alerts also. So when the Mets and Yankees game started, my phone was blowing up that I was getting alerts.
You were getting, like, the lineup, and you don't care.
I was getting end of first inning. So I had to figure, I think I got them all off. I just got an alert for the Dodgers Angels, though. So
that's funny. Your kid's made for national.
Yeah. He is. I just got all these alerts that I got to take off.
He's going to have like 62 jerseys by the time he's 16.
Well, he is. My kid is a front runner. Because I don't think he likes losing. He doesn't want to lose. Because the Celtics are one of his favorite teams. We like the Bucks. We like, for reasons that you can dig into, we like the Warriors, and he likes the Celtics because I've mentioned that as well. The team that he played on in his rec league was the Celtics, and so he likes the Celtics, and so he's been rooting for the Celtics. And I tell him every game, he goes, Daddy, who are you rooting for? I say, I'm rooting for the Knicks. And he goes, no. Kids do that at the end. No, root for the Celtics with me, Daddy. It's actually a pretty good impression of my son. If you
should feel very proud of yourself.
Yeah, she'll laugh. Do you want me to clip it for you? No. So people know what I'm talking about. But then I got a text tonight because, you know, we abandon reading books at night. We just watch sports now. I got two texts from my wife. The first one was, did he see Sal Frelick in real life? Sal Frelick plays outfield for the Brewers. And I go, what? He said he saw him driving when he was at the park. I go, I've never seen Sal Frelick. And then he says, oh, now he wants the Knicks to win. Okay. And that was when the Knicks were up like 35 points. Of course he wants the Knicks to win. Of course he does. Ooh, he's playing baseball now. So now we're going to transition from basketball stories to soccer stories to stories about my kid playing baseball. And that means he's on a new team. And so his first practice is next week. And my son will be a proud carrying member with a new hat of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nice. Pittsburgh Pirates. So we're a Celtics family, and now we are a Pirates family. So that should be fun. Something that I want to get into and that I want to start, I want the conversation to start, is that I think we should explore the possibility of the Celtics needing to trade Jaylen Brown. I'm looking at my Milwaukee Bucks, and everybody says that, well, Dame's hurt, you're screwed, trade Giannis. Okay, the Celtics are kind of in a similar situation. Tatum's hurt, so I should be able to connect the dots, right? Trade Jaylen Brown.
And Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, trade some of these guys. Because we'll be looking at different options, like Jrue Holiday, maybe a salary dump. Porzingis may need to medically retire. Can somebody figure out what is up with him? Like, he's got something. What is it? Figure it out. Well, yeah, did you see Porzingis? This is what Celtics, this was a conversation Celtics fans were having. Yeah, geez, did you see Porzingis is, like, dying? Oh, man. You think we can get 25 minutes out of Luke Kornet? Like, that's it? Just moving on? So I'm going to get that going. I'm going to drum that up tonight. Let's get out to Oceanside, talk to Billy Ray. Always good to hear from Billy Ray. Billy Ray! Billy Ray!
How you doing on a Friday, my brother?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. On my way home. I wanted to say something to you, Bob. I heard you last night talking about Caleb Williams from the Southside Bears. And let me tell you something. When you was my age playing high school football, if your mama came near because he got knocked down, you was getting your ass whooped by the rest of the team. So I think the parents should not get involved. Now, with that said, I ain't curious about you. I want to know, how does your son's mama act on the sideline or when he's up to bat? Is she screaming on? Is she get on the umpire? You always talk about yourself, but you never give time to your special lady.
Oh, no, she pulls up a chair and enjoys the game, and, you know, they all cheer on, and they cheer on each other. She talks to the other moms. She's well-behaved. My wife is well-behaved at the games.
Let me ask you something about baseball now that you know what the coaching. If you see something wrong with the coaching, do you get involved at all and say anything?
Well, that's another thing, too, because last night when I'm talking about dad's involvement with kids, I don't, yeah. Like, there's, you know, like, I don't ever know, and I'm now experiencing myself, and I don't think that Caleb Williams' dad should have tried to dictate where he's going to play football. But then I also think, well, you know, you also don't want to be a parent and send your son into a bad situation. So I kind of get that with the baseball thing. We'll see. I'll tell you the reason I'm coaching my son in the first place is because the people that were coaching him when he was even younger were doing such a terrible job that I said, I got to get in and do this myself.
My man, Bar, you ain't a man of talk. You a man of action.
Yeah, look at me.
All right, you enjoy your weekend, my brother. Always good to talk to you, white bread.
That was a Billy Ray, thank you. You called me white bread. I thought it was Wonder Bread. I'll take either one.
He is the whitest man I know.
I did see, and this will be the last story about a six-year-old that I bring up tonight.
Oh, we do, Wonder Bread.
But I did see... you know what? Should we do it? I can get an impromptu dad corner. Can we get a dad corner? Is that hard to pull up?
Stand by.
Like a quick dad corner. It's not more of a parenting as much as a situation that I yeah, we can get a dad corner.
Shut the hell up!
It's Dad Corner with Bart Winkler and Marco Belletti.
All right. So I was out for a walk the other day, and one of my son's friends goes to the Catholic school, which is right next to the school he goes to. So sometimes I've seen him, you know, out and about in the neighborhood. And one time, after school at a park, his, like, after-school care came to this park, and I talked to him, and one of his teachers was very like, "Who are you? Why are you talking to this kid?" So that kind of, like, made me feel weird. So I was out for a walk, and this kid was outside with his school in, like, the front lawn doing some project. And so I purposely walked to the other side of the street because I didn't want to, like, just say hi to this kid. You know, I'm just some random guy walking by the school saying hi to the kid. Today, I parked my car, and they were out on, like, a school walk. And so I saw the kid again, and I was like, "Hey, dude." And all the teachers were like, "Do you know that person?" It's like, I called this kid by his name. He said hi back, like, what do you think I am? So do you, I mean, what am I supposed to do there?
I would continue to say hello each and every time that you see him. The only thing is, don't do the high five, don't do the fist bump, no touching. But other than that, you're good.
Yeah, I didn't approach. You know, I just said, hey. I wouldn't have approached the other day, but then I felt weird, like, I know that guy. I should say hi.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, because he's six, you're supposed to pretend like you don't know him? So now you're going to set up an awkward situation every time your son sees him? Now it's going to be an awkward thing because the kid's going to be looking and go, why doesn't this dad say hello to me every time he sees me? It's messed up.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
Yeah, I see this kid. I coach him. He's on my team. I coach him. So, like, but then I kind of got upset because then I heard the teacher say, who is that you're talking to? And the kid goes, it's my friend's dad, and I was hoping he'd say it's my soccer coach. So I felt
kind of
sad.
Yeah, he hasn't kind of drawn you into the respect level yet, but you're still friend's dad. That's okay.
I did sort of talk to the
win the title, you'll be the coach.
I talked to that. Yeah, that's true. I talked to some of the other dads. Like, there's a bunch of us that are pretty tight, and I told them. I tell him, I notice that, like, I'm coaching these kids, but I don't necessarily turn that off. Like, when we're out just hanging out, I notice that sometimes I use coach voice and I'm stern with your children. So I don't want to, like, overstep and parent your kids. But I do think, like, I am their coach and I will be their coach in all settings. I'm their coach and I don't know that I want to turn that off.
All right, so you don't make them do, like, up-downs when you see them in the street, though, right?
No, definitely not, but...
No? Because that would be crossing the line, I think. I think that would be wrong.
I am the one to, like, yell at them if we're playing a game and it goes awry.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like kids don't get yelled at enough. I think that's okay. As long as you're not, you know... Look, if you're making them run laps because they, you know... threw a frisbee in the wrong spot, then that's kind of messed up. That's where you got to take a step back and evaluate yourself. But in general, just yelling at them because they, you know, push somebody, yeah, I think that's okay. That's fine.
We were playing like an impromptu game of baseball when a bunch of us were at a park, and the kids scored some runs, and then we had our turn, and we were scoring runs, or we got them out or something. There was one instance where one of the kids started crying, saying it's not fair. I said, you act like this, we're done. I'm not his dad.
You know what? I think that's more than fine. Me, personally. But I also don't think the kids get yelled at enough. I think they need that. I think there's some shock value there.
They need more yelling.
Yeah, I do. I feel that way. I think kids are soft.
I don't know if I would do that, though, if I didn't already have a position of authority in this kid's life.
Well, that's kind of the point, though. So now you have to take charge in what your position is. So it doesn't get completely shut off.
Yeah, because if I'm just a pushover, like, in real life, then when I try to coach, they'll be like,
yeah,
I'm not listening to this guy.
Right, they'll see through you, and they're going to walk all over you. Because, like I said, I don't think kids get yelled at enough. Now, granted, if you yelled at my kid, I'm probably going to take you down. But that's separate. That's separate. Yeah. Separate.
But there's, I'm looking at it negatively because I also, like, of all the dads, what other dad is out there giving their kids, their other kids, positive reinforcement as much as I am?
See, there you go. There you go.
Look at me.
Two-way street.
I almost brought a tear to my eye how great of a person I am.
That's right. That's right.
All right. That's Dad Corner.
No laps, no up-downs. That's the line.
I'm glad you agree on that one. How you doing an hour after? You still in the glow? You still feeling good?
Yeah, this one was almost anticlimactic. That's fine.
I know.
Because it's hard. Look, the Knicks don't blow anybody
out. They almost won by too much to fully enjoy it.
It's true, though, because they don't blow out anybody. Never mind be up like 40 in the second quarter. I didn't know what to do with myself. So the whole game, it was just kind of like, okay, this is good. This is fun. All right, how much time is left? So I'm in kind of like uncharted territories. Not only do they not win, they don't usually win by this much. So get me to Wednesday when, you know, reality will set in.
Yeah, I think everybody that was there wanted to be there to see them clinch in advance. But then it's kind of like, I don't know that it was that exciting in the second half. I don't know that the vibes were as high as they could have been. But, I mean, they still won by 38.
Well, it's a party throughout. And I'll be fair, I'm better with the crunch time, let's go, than I am with the let's just enjoy this. I'm not a let's just enjoy kind of guy. So I was out of my realm tonight.
The Knicks certainly gave a lot of Knicks fans something to enjoy. First time they're making a conference final in 25 years. And you know what? You talked about the Pacers being that team, and we'll look at it again when we come back. But this could, like, I don't think this is like, hey, this is fun, because it was like, I think this is what this could be in the East now for a while, especially with some of these injuries, and we'll get into that here coming up. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti. It's the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Call the number, and then I'll take your call. And then if you're good, I'll say, hey, great call. And if you're bad, I'll berate you. 888-710-4476. Want to get more into the Knicks and Celtics game. The Knicks blowing out the Celtics. You could kind of feel like right away, even it was like 3-0 or 2-0. You kind of felt they were just out hustling. I don't know if the Celtics, I wouldn't say they quit, but they certainly got to the point where they knew they weren't going to win. Jaylen Brown, did he even come out? Did they even sub him? He had 32 minutes when he fouled out in the third quarter. So, Knicks advancing to take on the Indiana Pacers. The Boston Celtics, a lot of questions there. We'll have a couple more minutes to do that coming up, so want to get in to that here momentarily. And again, 888-710-4ISN. There was some ownership news yesterday, and I like to bring this up because, as you guys may or may not know, I am an NFL owner. I'm the most accessible NFL owner there is. Jerry Jones is pretty accessible. He does a good job with radio hits and media, but I am the most accessible owner there is as a owner of the Green Bay Packers. And I don't care if you think it's stupid. It is what it is. It's not, I'm not saying, oh yeah, I am. By the definition, that is what I am. I'm going to make sure that they put it in my obituary. Okay, that'll be my one request. And put it first. Don't put loving husband, adoring father, perfect coach, Green Bay Packers owner. There's been a lot of obituaries written with that phrase, and I want mine to be another one. The 49ers have sold a 6.2% stake in their franchise to three Bay Area families. And the valuation of the team was then, I think, at like $8.5 billion, which would be the largest valuation for a team ever. They're not selling for 8.5, but if you want to know how much to buy in, it's got to be valued. So $8.5 million. No, billion. If you buy 6% of that, how much you got to pay? $510 million? Goodness gracious. So Charles Woodson, also going to be an NFL owner, he is buying a stake in the Cleveland Browns. He's buying 0.1% of the Browns. So if the Browns, let's say the Browns are valued at, what are the, they're probably valued less than the Niners, right? But even still, if they're valued at $8 billion and you buy 1% of $8 billion, I mean, Woodson, he's got to fork over like $80 million. If he's buying a 1% stake in the Browns, does Charles Woodson have $80 million? He must. He's got businesses. He's got a wine and whiskey business, but he's got to take his name, image, and likeness off of those because of the league's alcohol policy. And he's subject to the broadcasting rules like Tom Brady when he does appearances on Fox. Even if it's, even if the Browns are valued at $6 billion, that means he's got to pony up $60 million. Wow. Look at that. I only had to pay $300. See, you guys laugh at me. I only had to pay $300 for my ownership stake. We'll talk Celtics and how their owners might dictate their upcoming season next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.